This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
I ask in the name of Jesus, by the power of the same Spirit, that you grant unto me utterance. Your word goes forth unhindered by any demonic force, but in simplicity, with accuracy, and in power. And that I stand to interpret the vision of this house with my words. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may all be seated. I want to say big thank you for inviting me to teach here. Apostle Tony Rapo is a man I respect a lot, and my first encounter with him was, I think it was 1990 or so, University of Lagos. He hadn't come into ministry per se. I mean, he had not started pastoring, and we wanted to do a meeting on campus, and we're looking for very strong Christians who are professionals. And somebody in the fellowship said she has, elder sister knows somebody that they have a vigil or something, and he's a medical doctor, and that he'll be a blessing to the fellowship. This, I think, was 91. And we invited him. It was a great blessing. Shortly after that, I just heard. All right, and everything blew up. So I want to thank him. I also want to thank Pastor Nkoye also for the invitation. And Pastor, where's Pastor Jude? All right. This morning I want to share on what I will call, since it's a dominion mandate, our instrument for dominion. The scripture tells us that it is not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit. But when we say by the Spirit, which is why I like what Pastor Jude was saying, we shouldn't just use high-sounding scriptural phrases that will not make any meaning to our inner consciousness. In other words, people understand power and might. But when you say by the Spirit, what exactly are we saying? How does that work in our everyday life in terms of establishing dominion? In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said this. He said Christ died on the cross in Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. All right. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So here he says, he calls it the blessing of Abraham. Not the blessings of Abraham in plural, but the blessing of Abraham, one single blessing. And that blessing, he went on and said, is the promise of the Spirit. So one promise, one blessing, the blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. And in Proverbs 10 and 22, it says the blessing, not the blessings now, blessing again, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow unto it. So the blessing that makes rich is the promise of the Spirit, or the Spirit maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. So what we received was the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham was an empowerment that was received. So if we look at Abraham when he transferred the blessing to Isaac. The scripture says he gave to the sons of concubines silver and gold, and Isaac must have been looking, what's going on here? You are giving away all the property. And then he gave the blessing to Isaac. Isaac transferred the blessing on Jacob. Jacob left Isaac's house with nothing but the blessing. It was an empowerment. And because of that, when Jacob entered into Laban's house with the blessing, it showed in everything that was going on. Literally, the spirit of Jacob dominated everything that was going on in Laban's house. Joseph carried the blessing, right? And he was a prosperous man, the scripture says. In other words, wherever he went into, it wasn't the condition that was called prosperity. He was the one, the embodiment, the carrier of the grace. So I'm speaking about that blessing, that empowerment that we have received from Christ. And I want to show how it works in our everyday life. The example I'm going to start with is in Genesis 21 from verse 10. Something happened here. Sarah told Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And in verse 11, the thing was very grievous unto Abraham's sight because of his son in his sight. And then God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of this lad, of the lad, and because of the bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then in verse 13 he said, and also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And then Abraham did something that was strange. He rose up early in the morning, took one loaf of bread and a bottle of water. Now remember, the scripture had previously described Abraham as being very rich in silver and in gold and in cattle. But when he was sending out Ishmael, he gave him a loaf of bread and he gave him a bottle of water. And gave it to Hagar and put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And of course, after some time, the water was spent in the bottle. And what she did was that she cast the child under one of the shrubs. So she put, all right, Ishmael under one of the trees so there'll be some shade. And then she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were, a bow shot, which means she went some distance. And the reason why she went some great distance from Ishmael was that she said, let me not see the death of the child. In other words, I don't want to see the condition of my son deteriorate and his flesh literally get eaten up before me. So she put him afar, some distance, and then she sat over and against him, and she lifted up her voice and she wept. Now, she didn't pray, she started crying. Looking at the condition all around, and she began to cry. But then the next thing the scripture says is that God heard the voice of the lad where he was. So it wasn't the voice of Hagar God heard. It was the voice of the lad, and then the angel called to Hagar out of heaven and said, "What aileth thee?" In other words, she was crying. Ishmael must have prayed unto God, and God heard the prayer of Ishmael, and an angel went to his mother and said, "What's the issue?" Now, I firmly believe that when Abraham was sending him out of the house with one bottle of water and one loaf of bread, and he knew that he was going to, this wouldn't last, let's say, 3 days. Abraham was conscious of what he was doing. He had silver and gold in abundance. He could have given him cattle. He could have given him silver. He could have given him gold. It was his child. But he said, "I must teach you how this covenant works and how the empowerment of the Spirit works." When Joseph left, he left with nothing. When Jacob left, he left with nothing. None of them was supported by the wealth of their parents. They went in and confronted life. And it was when the pressure was on, the blessing kicked in. It is when there is a demand. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why Jesus said this. And we've got to get this orientation right. When a child went to meet Jesus and said, "Tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. My brother is doing well. He's not..." Jesus said, he didn't say, "I will talk to him." He said, "Who made me a judge and a ruler over thee?" In other words, he said, "Look, I'm not going to talk to him. I will teach you something about life your own self. You'll learn something." I want to show here is that it's when difficulty kicks in that the real covenant issue begins to work. So now I know people are negative. I understand this. And if you say anything positive, people will criticize you. You know, things are bad. You must be bad. You remember, it's now woke to be negative. Okay? But let me say this. The seasons in this country will change, but this season is prophetic because it's making a demand. And that demand should trigger something inside the believer. We were not called for convenience. You know, one day I asked Bishop, Tudor Bismarck. I said, "How do you preach all over the world? You cut across many streams. You preach for strong word of faith people. You preach for bishop." He said, "You know," what he said in short was like, "You know, Zimbabwe went through very difficult times." He said, "God told me to stay." He said, "I came in contact with an anointing in that situation that the world desires." So Abraham must have told Ishmael, "Come." The night before, let me tell you how it works. Isaac was a normal chap until famine came. There was no distinction. Let me show you how it works. When this bottle of water finishes, and this bread I have given to you finishes, then make God your source. Now, there is a prayer that you offer up. And Abraham must have taught Ishmael the prayer that causes the spirit to begin to walk on the outside. And it was that prayer that Ishmael offered up that the angel came down and said, "I have heard the voice of the lad where he is." Now, I'll show you what the prayer is. Now, let's look at it again. Genesis here, and there's the prayer. Genesis, yeah, so the bottom of what everything finished. Why in Genesis? Genesis 21, I think we should be, all right. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of the Lord called out to Hagar out of heaven and said, "What aileth thee?" And Hagar, fear not. You hear again, he said it. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now, arise, lift up the lad. In other words, a person is building a company, something happens in the economy, the company is going south. You put it aside that this thing is about to fold up, because you look around and there is nothing that shows that any improvement will be made. God said to Hagar, carry the lad you said was going to die and lift him up. For I will make him a what? Great nation. So you carry that thing you thought was going to die and you lift it up. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you say, God is going to, you take the marriage that you feel is all over and he says, you lift it up. All right? Okay? And he says, and God, all right? Now let's look at verse 18 before we get to this. And for I'll make him a great nation. And then next thing, God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. In other words, Abraham told Ishmael that you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. When you get into that situation when anything finishes, don't ask God for anybody to come and hand you water. Ask him to open your eyes to see what he has provided. For he says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have prepared a table. In other words, in every crisis situation, there's some massive opportunity. We are asking for deliverance instead of sight. We are asking, I'm going to show this, that God, you know, restore the days as it were, instead of asking that God open my eyes that I may see. You know, Pastor was saying that people go for great conferences and there'll be no transformation. And I understand that. Because the true men that walked with Jesus, when Jesus was raised from the dead, that went to his tomb, there were two men that were with Jesus that were walking on the road. And Jesus appeared to them and was the first people he had a conversation with. And when Jesus came, this is Jesus now. He came to them and said, why are you guys so sad and why is your countenance this way? They told Jesus, are you a stranger in this land? You are telling Jesus now. Have you not heard about Jesus that they crucified? Now, you are telling Jesus this. He said, are you serious? Say yes, they crucified him. We went to check for his body, we didn't find it. They must have carried his body away. And the Bible says he began to expound from the scriptures things concerning himself. But the scripture says their eyes were holding that they did not know him. Finally, when he opened their eyes, they saw him and he disappeared. You know what they said? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he broke the scriptures? You can have a burning experience with the scriptures, but still you are not seeing. It is a prayer that has to be offered up. That what I have seen in scripture, may I see the exact representation in my life. What was a temporal thing, which was a bottle of water and a loaf of bread, God opened their eyes to see a well of water that became a permanent, unending, you get what we're saying here, resource. That now they began to draw every day from it. So a person, there's a downturn in a business, and God opens the eyes of a person, and his person, he or she sees a well in that place. That is a transgenerational blessing. So let's go on here. So the idea is the provision, what God has, is always there. You just have to see it, which means your eyes must be opened up. In Psalm 23, it tells us, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, let me just show this here. Now, let's start from verse 1, quickly. Verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, that's good. Everybody likes that. All right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everybody will confess that. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's the Lord. Makes you, we're enjoying that. But you know, God will bless you and then set you up. So that when the pressure comes, you won't say he doesn't love you. You'll remember that you were some time back in, before you get to the valley of shadow of death, you will have been in the green pasture. You get what I'm saying here? He maketh me to lie down beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. All right? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Next thing. Yea. And he puts it there. Yes. Though I walk through, which means God takes you green pasture, takes you still waters, takes you. Then one time it just turns. And next thing is a valley of the shadow of death. He said, we're going through this valley together. Now you ask yourself and tell yourself, God doesn't lead through the valley of the shadow. He does. Let me say this here. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, after Jesus was anointed with the Spirit, the first place the Spirit led him to was the wilderness. Listen, the first place the Spirit led him to was the wilderness. Now, Satan was not the one who led Jesus into the wilderness. Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. In other words, when you are going through that experience, then Satan wants to tempt you to respond to what is going on the outside wrongly, then he gets you. But the situation in itself is not inherently evil. Do you get what I'm saying? But once Satan comes there, and what he does is he wants you to fear. So you respond in fear. Then he says, I got you now. You respond this way. He says, I got you now. Now he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will do what? Fear. Which means he said, now what God has taught me is do not fear. Remember, Jesus called Peter to walk on water with him. Now, where did the problem start? The winds were boisterous. There was a wind blowing. That was where the problem was. And they were rowing and rowing. And they saw Jesus walking on water towards them. He was walking on water towards them. And Peter said, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat and was walking on water to Jesus. And the Bible says after some time, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he became afraid and began to sink. Which means that once fear comes in, faith gets contaminated, the power of God stops working. He was walking on water, which means the power of God was in operation in his life. Now, when you say the wind, he saw the wind was boisterous. First of all, the wind was already boisterous. It was always boisterous. Jesus walking on water had nothing to do. I mean, if you think it has to do with the wind, go home, fill a bathtub and stand on it. Shut all the windows and say, everywhere is still, let's stand. You will sing, which means, listen what I'm saying here. The environment has nothing to do with God. Do you get what I'm saying here? Your support system is when you look, and Jonah said, they that behold lying vanities. You look out and allow what is going on the outside to contaminate your heart. Then fear comes in, and then Satan steps in. So he took him through the valley of the shadow of death because that's the only way to the table he has prepared. That's the only way. There's no other way to this. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Next verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, what's this table here? Because of time, can't really go, but if you go into Proverbs, you will know it's a table of wisdom. But he says he prepared it before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, you know what he says next? He says, From that table, he anointed my head with what? Oil. And because my head is anointed with oil, my cup runs over. The cup running over is a product of the oil touching your head. In other words, when the Holy Spirit permeates your mind, that is the table he has prepared. He's saying, I will anoint, all right, your head. Listen, what you've got to understand, and Christians have to understand this. Crisis around you doesn't mean anything is wrong. Do you get what we're saying here? You know, when Daniel said, I'm not going to bow down, and they said, well, we're going to throw you into flames. You know, normal modern day charismatic will say, God will not allow them to throw me into the flames. So when they get thrown into the flames, they'll say, where is God? But Daniel understood, throw us into the flame. God is inside the fire. And you know, if they throw you into the flame and you start getting scared and you are complaining, then the fire begins to burn you. But if you are there and you know God's presence is right here with me and you are worshiping God in the flames will bow down to the presence of God. So when you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, recognize the omnipresence of God. I had a friend, he told me, Reverend Mark Hankey, said he went hunting. I'll show you this. Okay? Because there's too much negativity in the atmosphere. And people don't understand that. Now, things on the outside may be dark, but you have got to control your speech. He said he went hunting, and while they were hunting, the animals, think he said it was a bishop friend of him that took him. No animal came out. They said, I mean, they painted themselves, you know, green and all of that, whoop, camouflage. He said, 6 hours, 7 hours, no animal. You mean wasted our time here? And I was looking at his friend. You mean, Bishop, you brought me to waste my time here in America? He said, next thing, when it was about dawn, this bishop got up and said, bring out your rifle now. Just bring out your rifle and get set. And then the man made a sound. He looked at him. Ah, are you okay? Bishop said, just watch it. He said, get ready. He did it third time. The animal came out. He said, fire. So at the end, he now asked him, what was the sound that brought the animal out? He said, you see, what happened was at dawn. That's when the animal comes out to hunt for food and all of that. And that sound, we have found out, is the sound that what it preys on, when it gets caught in a trap, it makes that sound of weakness and starts crying. And once that animal hears that sound of crying, he knows that my food is ready because it is trapped and is weak. He said, and God said, that's why I brought you here for 7 hours in the bush to tell you, no matter what happens on the outside, the sound must be praised. That is, if there's a sound coming out of your own life of a victim of, you know, and all of this, and murmuring and complaining, serpents come out. They understand that a weak person is now available. Let us go and feed on this person. But when there is a shout of victory, even though you are walking, listen to this, through the valley of the shadow of death, when they threw Daniel into the fire, they said, this fire, God is here with us. Do you get what I'm saying here? And the king came and said, listen, wouldn't we throw 3 people in? Where was the 4th person? That's God's presence. Because when they were there, they started worshiping God. That God, you must be up to something new. And when he takes you through the valley of the shadow of death, he is up to something new. But the prayer is not, deliver me from the valley of the shadow of death. The prayer is, anoint my head with fresh oil. Put up Job chapter 29 verse 1. He said, my head, the Spirit of God must make contact with my head. Job further continued his discourse and said, all right, and said, hear what Job said. Oh, that I were in months past, in the days when God watched over me. Look at what he described. Next verse, he said, verse 3, He said, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I did what? Walked through darkness. In other words, his light comes on your head, and by that you walk through the situation. So Abraham told Ishmael and said, listen, according to it says, ask God to open your eyes. Once you come to the end, and life is in phases, they are seasons. Once one season comes to an end, and you notice any form of stagnancy or decline, ask God, open my eyes that I may see. There is something new that you have got to see. So, Proverbs chapter 13, I'm quickly going with it, and verse 23. And so in times, because the topic gave to me about marketplace and prophetic insight. In every time anybody was in any situation that there was any form of tightness, and this is what I came to say today, all right? Any form of tightness. And God sent anybody to that person to visit that person. What they always asked was, what is in your house? What do you have in your hand? When Jesus was going to feed the multitude, they started by saying, He knew what he was going to do, so he put out the test. So what do we do? People began, oh, 200 penny worth is not. Let these people depart. Let them go away. Let them go. Jesus said, they need not to depart. They said, what are you saying? They need not to depart? They don't need, they said, no. Number two, I said, but we don't have the resources. He said, go in to the congregation. And whatever you find, bring it. I am trying to say that let's assume you run a business and things seem to be going south. The next big thing is inside your house. What he is going to open your eyes to see already exists within. The issue is, the way you are looking at it is not from a divine standpoint. When they brought the five loaves to Jesus, the person who brought it said, what are these among so many? When God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? He looked at it and said, what does this have to do? He didn't know that what he carried in his hand was going to be used to part the Red Sea. He was going to stretch it forth, and armies were the most powerful army in that civilization was going to collapse under. He didn't know what he was carrying. So God never goes far from where you are. The issue is your eyes just have to be opened up. Now, this is what Satan knows. He knows that say whatever you want to say. So long as the eyes of the minds of the people are closed, he will win. That's why the God of this world has blinded the world minds. And the problem is that we as Christians think that once we get saved, our eyes are automatically opened. But if it is so, then why did Paul pray in Ephesians chapter 1 that after I heard of your faith and your love, I cease not to pray, all right, making mention of you that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that the eyes of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. Or the eyes of your heart may be what? Opened. So it's the opening up of the eyes of your heart to see. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 23. Much food, the Bible says, is in the fallow ground of the poor. And for lack of justice, there is waste. It says, in the fallow ground of the poor person. That's this ground. KJV says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Which means the tillage of the where the person is, there's much food there. There's much food in the tillage there, all right, of the poor. That is, there is something in the ground of every single person. Nobody starts out, you know, I've shown you that. That's why God, so that there'll be no excuses. No excuses. God said, I'm bringing my own son. He's starting from rock bottom. He will be born where animals are born, so that you can't say you are, make any excuse and say, well, you are born on the wrong side of the track. It says Jesus was born on the wrong side of the track. You won't be able to say that, listen, it's because Abraham gave them a head start. Said everybody went out with nothing. You say, well, it was so difficult in our own time. It says, well, in their own time, there was famine. You say, you don't understand the kind of boss that I have. He says, well, all right, the kind of boss that Jacob had, nobody has changed your own wages 10 times. Lied unto you who to marry, and then you marry the person. And when you go to the house, you realize that this man... So, you have a father-in-law that is a deceiver, as a boss that is a cheat. And he did not resign. Are you following? So God takes his people through things so that those coming after may have no excuse. When he was going to get David's army, he said, well, you know, I don't have the right talent. David's talent were 300. The most broke people in town, the most disillusioned folks. Every kind, God said, I want you to start with this. So that there will be an example. You know, one time I just got saved. I don't know what happened. I felt very bad with myself. I don't know. I know somehow, but I felt very bad. God told me, he said, God, what? I mean, that was the first time I heard God clearly. He said, why are you feeling bad? I said, look at what happened. He said, what about me? I said, I don't understand. He said, didn't you hear I created the angels? One third of them left me. He said, shouldn't they say, there is something wrong with you too? How can one third go? He said, then after that, I created my son in my own image, after my likeness. It didn't take him long. It was gone. Shouldn't they say that there's no smoke without fire? But God allowed it. So that, I mean, like someone told me, said, well, something is a failure of the systems. The system is the system. I said, what system are you saying? God's system is perfect. They left him. Because sometimes we put things so much on the external. Jesus prayed all night, chose disciples. One betrayed him. Are you following what I'm saying? But when you go into the sovereignty of God, nothing happens except that God's will comes to pass. He is beyond our understanding. Because there's a meeting point. When I say meeting point, now, here's the meeting point. If I ask you, was it God's plan for Jesus to be crucified? Yes? Wasn't it God's plan? From the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was what? Slain. So it was God's plan. Well, you know, it was God's plan for Jesus to die on the cross, yes. Who effected the death? Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified God of glory. So even though it was demonic spirits that did it, God's plan was what... Listen, there's nothing Satan can do that can stop you. Are you following what I'm saying? Nothing. And let me tell you this. I just dropped this fact on some part of my body, but I have seen this in all of my years as a Christian. I have never seen anybody that this did not work for. When something happens that you weren't expecting and seems so negative and hurtful, If you will kneel down beyond your own understanding and in that pain, worship God and thank Him, that situation will turn into something in your future. That when they ask you, tell us how you succeeded, you will not be able to, except you just want to front, you will not be able to explain that part, because that's where the divinity of God is. One day I was preparing a message on the tabernacle of David, and God told me, said, I miss David on the earth. He told me, I miss him. He said, there's nothing that happens to him, he will praise me. Nothing. That if David is in the traffic and inside the traffic and is there for 3 hours, he'll be praising me. He will take it as an opportunity to worship. He will thank me that the cars are not moving. He said, people complain. There's too much complaining and murmuring that is coming up. This is somebody that God said, I will judge you, your child will die. This is not that, why did God allow the child? No, God said, I am judging you. So you know this is the judgment of God. The judgment of God came in for his sin. And after the child died, David went, the first thing he went to the person who judged you, he went to worship the person. God must have looked and said, what else do we, go and bring Solomon from this place as his man's reward. Wait, something will happen. We'll be asking God, why did you allow that to happen? Why did you allow that to happen? God said, listen, I'm going to judge you. God judged him. And he said, Father, I worship you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. All right, now look at the next one here. He who tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. Now, there is much food in the tillage of every person. But whoever tills their land will be satisfied with bread. But he said this tilling here. What do you mean by tilling here? Right? Now, the final one, Proverbs 20, verse 13. This tilling has a method to it. And that's what the Spirit comes to show. All right? 2013. It says that, do not love sleep or slumber. Put up the amplified version. All right? Correct. Do not, okay. Love not sleep, lest you come to what? Poverty. Open your eyes and you will be what? Satisfied with bread. In other words, there is much food in the tillage of the poor. Now, he that tills his land will be satisfied with bread. But that tilling there takes your eyes to be opened by the Spirit. So you are not just, which means God opens your eyes and says, this is what, in the midst of what you are doing, he opens your eyes to see something and he says, now, till this way. There is much food there, but the eyes of people must be opened. And that's why the curse was, listen, in the sweat of your face shall you eat. All right? When you till your land, it won't yield its increase to you in the sweat of your face. Now, it says your eyes are going to be opened up so that as you are tilling there, you see something. Your eyes are opened up to something. You see something in the midst of it. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is as if a treasure that was hid in the field of a person. In every field, there is treasure. There is a treasure inside that field. Your eyes just have to be opened up. And I'm trying to tell you this, that treasure is found shortly after a disappointment there. If you don't get angry and bitter, and you understand that this is what is called in God's sovereignty a divine correction, he wants to show you something you are not seeing. That's why there's that movement on the outside. And once the movement happens, you go to him and say, God, open my eyes that I may see. What's the sleep it's talking about here? Romans chapter 11, verse 7 to 10. When it says, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with bread. It says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeks, or that what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were what? Blinded. In other words, the people that get it are people that their eyes are opened. Next verse here. It says, just as is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor or slumber, eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear to this very day. What's the effect of that? Next verse. It says, as David said, let their table, in other words, that table that is prepared, once you don't see, it becomes a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense. In other words, you'll be offended at something that actually was designed for your promotion. So the prayer. And that's why Satan knows. The God of this world, he just blinds the minds of people. I said, look, they'll be frustrated. Let me tell you what it means for your eyes to be open. Now, we all know God supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ. Now, we know that. But we know that as a memory verse. That's what Pastor was saying there. Remember, we know that. Now, wine finishes in the wedding feast. So, I'm told wine has finished, so let me believe God for it. So I begin. God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God shall supply. So I'm pacing the floor, I'm praying. God shall supply all my needs according to his glory. Now, my eyes are blinded, but I'm confessing God's word. My eyes are blinded. Then I see pots there. Because my eyes are blinded, I tell them that these pots are disturbing me. Can you move them? The very thing God wants to use. Can you please move them away so I can have space? Do you get what I'm saying here? I have space to walk. And then there's water over there. Please, put short. We don't need any water here. We are believing God. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, everybody knows God supplies all of our need according to his riches glory. Few people have their eyes opened to know that the key is pour water into this thing and draw it out. The blessing is always, the thing is always next to you. Listen, it's always next to you. One day I was spending money, ministry, God told me, said, listen to what I'm saying. He says, when you are spending too much money, you are missing me. He said, why do you labor for that which is bread and spend for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me. He said, listen, is my instruction not money? So sometimes people want to start a business. You know, I had a friend. He's into entertainment now. He's a big player in entertainment. When I went on television, he used to work in a station. So he came to meet me because he helped me to get on the station. He used to work in the station. He said, please, can I use the church cameras? We want to start a music program and all of this. I said to him, no, I'm not giving you a church camera. How can I give you a church camera about me doing your music program? I'm not doing that. He said, but I said, listen, you don't need cameras to start a television program on music. He said, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm in television. I didn't know what I was saying, but I was just saying what I knew in scripture. I said, listen, if that is the burden, you don't need it. Go and start without cameras. Do you know he came back and told me, you are right. He said he sat down and watched MTV. And all they were doing was playing one video after one video and one video after one video of other people's cameras and other people. So he started a music program, playing people's video after, until he started getting adverts for that. Then he bought cameras with the advert money. He said, that's all we're doing. He said, we just started the program and papa started playing one music video after the music video for 25 minutes and close. And people started watching it. Let me show you how bad it is, and that's why you should constantly, find yourself in a place where there's any pressure. And let me tell you the indicator here. when Moses looked at the bush that was burning and it wasn't consumed. If it has been burning in your life and it hasn't consumed you, God is, there's an assignment in it. He said, when I looked at the bush that was burning and wasn't consumed. You know, there are sometimes you go through things, you think you won't make it. You are surprised that you are still around. That by now I thought I was, you know, I thought, you know, but you're still around. The Bible says, listen to what it says. And when he saw that the bush was burning and it wasn't consumed, the scripture says, and he turned aside to look. What that scripture means originally is that he said, let me look at it from another angle. It's the perspective. In other words, God, open my eyes. Let me see this thing. It's not trouble. It's not trouble. Now, what I'm calling this thing is not trouble. So he looked, and God said, you are standing on holy ground. This is the place of your assignment. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says that, you know, just show you this thing of sight. What he wants to show us on this earth. There are many things that are hidden on this earth, and God wants to start unveiling it. This is what I'm talking about. I mean, there was a time when we were riding horses, and it took breakthrough in our thinking to be able to ride a horse. We just don't appreciate it. Because the Bible says we put bits in horses' mouth. People tried to control the horse. They held the tail. The horse kicked them. They held the neck. The horse dealt with them. Until finally, after many years, they realized that if we put bits in the horse's mouth and put a rein, we'll control this horse. They got on the horse and said, we've made it. Then after some time, they realized we can put a cart. And then the horse will be going, we'll be in the cart now. And be doing going this way. And they said, we've made it. And then after some time, they said, listen, wait a minute. We can have cars. You see, God keeps taking the veil. He took one veil, horse. He took one veil off car. He took a veil off car. Then we looked at the fish that was swimming and said, we should be able to conquer the waters. Then he took it off. And then the ship. And that was massive breakthrough. Now we can get to London. It will take 3 months. 3 months. But we can get there. Let me tell you, you know, to show you something, you know, when my father was alive, he came to see me in our office in Yaba. I could not believe it. He came in, and when he entered the building, he smiled at me. I said, what? He said, I was on my way to show you that God works very deeply. He said, I was on my way to England to go to school. My father brought me for a party here when this building was being opened by so and so. And I came here, and this is where I sat when they were having the party in 1948. From this point, I went to go and take the ship. Now, this is your office. God is close. He took the veil off. Then we found that we can go by plane. I mean, I was watching when the Queen passed. They said she came to Nigeria. It took her 17 hours to get there. If they tell you that the plane will take 17 hours now, you which kind of plane is this? 17 hours. But that was massive. I said, what plane? 17 hours? The propeller is out now. Then they took the veil off again. Every time the veil goes off, the anointing touches somebody's head. And because the anointing touches somebody's head, their cup runs over. Do you get this? Then they took the veil off 6 hours. Very soon, somebody else, the anointing will touch their head. They'll take that veil off and we'll get to London in an hour. Whoever sees it, their cup runs over. There was a time we'll go to, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, you tell you, you send a letter to America and they'll come back in, they'll reply you in 2 minutes. What are you talking about? They'll say, are you a wizard? How would that happen? Are you a witch? How would that happen? What are you doing? We'll go to the post office. You'll go there and see. If a thing doesn't seal well, you make a bam, put it, then seal it. And then you drop it in the post office and say, Lord, let it get there. And may it come back. You don't know the day it's coming back. But the veil was removed. The internet came in. Now you send an email. What was it taking so long? It's 2 minutes now. No patience again. Why is it taking so long? Do you get what we're saying here? The Christian should start playing in this realm. All right? And the only way we can play in this realm is when there is pressure. Don't ask, take me out. Ask, open my eyes. Are you following what I'm saying? On prayer, God take, listen, we are spoiled. That's our problem now. We cry, we complain, and we make demands. Tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. God, get me out of this situation. I came because I'm a Christian, because I shouldn't ever experience this. I should never. Listen, they say they're about to sack 25% of people in the office. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. They won't come near me as a Christian. They can't sack you. The Bible didn't say they can't sack you. What he said is, when one door closes, I open another one. And please, let me close by saying this. This will be good for somebody. Don't get offended the way they did it. They have a right to do it whichever way they want. Because when Jonah was going to be thrown into his destiny, he was in a boat. God said, you are leaving this boat. Crisis started. They carried Jonah, his hands and his legs. And this is how they threw Jonah out. So if you are in the wrong boat and God says, you are not in the place of destiny, he will tell his people, grab the person. With no emotion, grab the leg, take him. Don't rubbish that. One, two, three. You are out. You disappear. They didn't even stop to check. You know, as far as those people were concerned, you died. Because he entered the belly of the fish. So they were going. Can you imagine Jonah saying, and these people did not check. These people did not check for me. And if I'm not loving, they're not loving people. Christians. He was in the belly. Says, they that behold lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. The fish took him to dry land. I say to you, whatever situation you are in today, with the voice of thanksgiving, that situation is taking you to the place of your divine appointment. How you are treated doesn't matter. Are you following what I'm saying here? The way they crucified Jesus wasn't the issue. That was the pathway to the right hand of the Father. Jesus looked into that crowd and saw people. That was a real battle. Because you go from death to life when you love the brethren. You go from life to death when you hate. Satan was trying to get him into hate. He saw people, he healed their children saying, crucify him. He saw people he helped saying, crucify him. And Jesus looked and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because, as Joseph said, they might have meant it for evil, but God. Let me say this again to you. Here, I know you in church will shout, but when it starts, the fire starts, we'll start complaining. Here, whatever will take you to your place of destiny, men will treat you wrongly. They will mean it for evil. You will be hurt. You will be betrayed. You will be in pain. That is the pathway to it. And once you understand worship, forgiveness, and open my eyes, then that next place, you'll get into it. And that's how we dominate. God bless you all.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.